is London Calling. Here is the last news bulletin for today. The time through which we are now passing is of exceptional character.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 7 of the Full Reptile Radio. It is Thursday, right before UFC 228, so we're going to talk about that. I've got my main man, Owen Oxley, with me, and we're going to talk a bit about the fights this weekend and my drama in the build-up to this one, trying to get my visas from several different embassies. And, yeah, where do you want to start?
Back an episode of the Kardashians for you, isn't
it? It's just been mad this week. I mean, so basically, UFC Moscow's next week, so I need my Russian visa sorted out. So I applied for that last week and collected my passport yesterday morning. I went straight over to the US Embassy to apply for a journalist's visa so I can cover the main event and co-main event this weekend for BBC Radio.
That's good. You got your gum shield just in case for
exactly,
both.
Of course. You never know, so I'm always ready. But then, obviously, tomorrow is Friday, which is weigh-in day, and I have yet to have a plane ticket and receive my passport. So
neither of us should be here. I only got here at what, 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
It's not a planned visit, and you should be in Dallas.
I should be in Dallas. I should have flown out yesterday, but I haven't. So fingers crossed, I get the passport tomorrow.
Yeah, because I saw on Insta Nick Pete's already there, right?
Of course he is.
So he's rolling through New York, just chilling.
Oh, he's loving it. But the thing, see, I guess it evens up because the last time Darren Till fought, where was it? Was it Poland? Or when he fought Cowboy
Liverpool
in Poland? And Nick Pete lost his passport.
Yes, but he did find a little baggie of coke at the cage wall, so it swings and roundabouts.
Is that right?
Swings and roundabouts.
So the lost passport was paid for.
This is it. Yeah, it's all just coming back in line.
I was on the Fight Disciples the other day. Me and Nick recorded a little bit of something, so make sure you check that out.
I listened to a bit, but it was weird because I was on my way here and the M1 was blocked, and I was listening to Cowboy and Joe, and I was wanting
great podcast.
Yeah, always. And I mean, I love listening to Cowboy anyway, and because he's just you shit and get. And that's it. And I love that style and I love how he is. So I was listening to that, but I was like, do you know what? I need to save this for the walking the dog. So I literally pressed pause. I thought, oh, just listen to Dan and Nick. And it just freaked me out because I literally got here and I'd just been listening to you for an hour. And I come most weeks. And then next minute, it's like, all right. All right, Dan Hardy. And it just put me straight back. And I was like, I can't be doing that anymore. So I've been listening to Bill Burr this afternoon instead.
Love Bill Burr. Man, yeah, I've got Lacey into Bill Burr recently. We've been watching all of his stand-up on Netflix and F is for Family.
Yes, super special, right?
Brilliant.
After doing a couple of podcasts with you, because I mean, now we've started trying to fine-tune this and I've started wearing headphones.
Yeah, we're trying to get the volumes right, aren't we? Because I'm used to talking into a mic.
And I'm just a loud man. So, I mean, it's weird because I don't know if anyone else has done it, but when you've got headphones on, it sounds like when you're in a bad reception area on your mobile phone, and basically, you keep dropping out and you can hear your own voice, which is dog shit. But the thing is, it always reminds me of, I was doing a bit of business back in the day in Sinfin.
A bit.
in my Corsa, 1 litre. And basically, we used to download a lot of music. And my wife had made me a mix CD. And I had it on full blast. And I was sat at this pitch black bridge, like only one direction at a time, traffic lights. Either side of me was pitch black darkness. And it was, this isn't going to be sounding gangster, but it was Cher, Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves. Okay. So it starts off real mellow. So all I'm thinking about is the deal I'm about to do with my bro, whatever's happening. And literally, I'm just sat there. I was born in the wagon. All this stuff, right? Next minute, whoever's uploaded this song has just put this massive like monster screech in it. So I literally shit my pants, got out of the car and ran because I didn't know what was happening. And now because I'm getting this like reverb thing, It's sort of putting me in a weird position because I just keep expecting Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves to come on and blast me out.
Oh, and that's the BBC calling me now.
All right, well, so let's see what they've got
let's
to say.
See what we won't record it on the podcast, but...
Catch a bus, please. Yeah, oh, Jesus.
All right, back recording. So that was the BBC. It looks like, it looks like the plan's going ahead and I'm getting my passport back in the morning and I'll be on a flight, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's a positive after a bit of a
that's a positive
a
podcast interruption. We'll go with that.
At least you have to leave now.
Exactly, right. Where were we going? You were talking about Cher.
gangster, right? So I was talking about sharing shit in my pants, which is a normal Wednesday.
Of course. I like your hat, by the way.
Dude.
Right. Mate,
the next level hats. What have we got now? Five?
Just, I think five, yeah.
Yeah, but real rough hand sewn. I couldn't wait. I'm a bit excited to put badges on hats kind of moment. So, yeah, we've got the new woven badges have dropped in. We've actually managed to get a contact in the hat world. So Snapbacks, Grandad Peaks, the normal stuff. But we're using the same as the Top Boys using. So people like Stussy, Brixton. So essentially our blank is that.
Nice.
And then we've got our wovens, which is made by, I can't use their name because I don't want everyone to use them. But they are the best.
Top secret.
Top secrets, mate. Top secrets.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And to be fair, I've not taken it off.
No.
Other than my kids Bagsy in it. I don't know how that works.
Explain what Bagsy is for the Americans listening.
Okay, so
I think that's pretty much a UK term.
It's a bit like shotgun.
Yeah,
so, you know, when
you're
going to the car and it's like shotgun front seat, Bagsy is Bagsy not it, normally.
Yeah.
So it's like if your mum says, go and...
Take the rubbish out.
Take the rubbish out, shut the chickens up for the country boys. And it's like, you just, Bagsy not it. And even you could have turn around, touch the ground, Bagsy not it.
Yeah.
Did you used to do that?
Yeah. It's like a jinx kind of thing as well, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, full tilt jinx.
It gets very confused. Anyway, we always divert. We always go off topic. That was my fault that time. The hat looks great. The hats will be on the website soon.
Yeah, we'll get them on Insta. Have a look. I mean, we've got, essentially, there's a few different colours.
In fact, I'll take a photo right now.
Should I give you double guns?
Do it. And you'll hear the snap. Hang on a minute. Wait for it. Double guns. Boom.
There you go.
There we go.
Why wouldn't
I'll post that up so you can see.
Screensaver material right there.
Okay, so let's talk about the card this weekend.
The one you're going to be at.
The one I'm going to be at. I'm going to be there.
Yeah,
I'm going to be in Dallas. Every time I say Dallas now, Fight Disciples have programmed me to sing the Dallas theme music.
Yes, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
can
dun,
we get
dun,
you a,
dun,
can we get
dun.
You a hat, a cowboy hat? And so, oh, we could sew one of these on.
Dude, there we go.
I've got a wicker one. not quite the look you're going for.
No, not really. That's more cowboy aloe vera than cowboy Cerrone.
Yeah, and that's not a real cowboy, is it?
Not really.
No.
Not as far as we know it anyway.
His tattoo's smaller.
Cowboys
is older and a little bit like, you know, when you go on tattoo fixes and someone goes, yeah, I've got this badass tattoo, because he hasn't seen it forever. But then, you know, when you actually take a picture and you look at it, I've got a cousin, Paul, my wife's cousin, and he had a samurai on his back. And it was dog shit, let's be honest. But it got to the point where he went to my friend to get a cover-up. He was going to see Tony at Ink Kings. And literally, he had a load of shit bits all over him, like bubblegum tattoos. And I took him to see Tony to get a full back piece. And he went, yeah, you can cover anything you want. Just leave my samurai. And we all sort of looked at each other like, he's fucking joking, right? I took a picture of it and showed him. And it was like Luke Skywalker had a bit of a fit and sort of slipped down like a canvas signage board, and his lightsaber got stuck, and it was like the weirdest thing. And, you know, when someone's adamant they're keeping this cool thing they had in when they're 18, I was like, yo, this is what it looks like. And he's like, nah, I think your camera's blurry. I was like, nah, that's a dog shit tattoo, we're covering that up. So
I've got more friends with bad tattoos than with good tattoos, that's for sure.
That's the story though, right?
Yeah. Talking of that, Hardy Warlead's opening soon.
Yes.
Shout out to Jimmy Warlead and his Billy Connolly tattoo on his stomach, which is supposed to be Jesus. Which weird. So the story of this tattoo, he's got this tattoo of Jesus with a crown of thorns on, but it looks more like the comedian Billy Connolly. But then one day when we were doing Shark Tank, Jimmy was close to a fight. So we're going side control mount, and Jimmy's on the bottom escaping every time. Obviously, fight shorts, no shirt. Paul Barton, a friend of mine, spotted from upside down, obviously like going into north-south to pin Jimmy, that it looks like a clown's head from upside down as well. So, it's like a combination tattoo. It's like that life-death. What's the...
The yin-yang.
You know the one that you can read upside down as well? What's it called?
Ambigram.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I've got one that says monkey, which my mate did. It's awesome. And I never had it.
It's the Dan Brown... What's the book? Da Vinci Code. There we go.
Is there a film?
I know. Yeah, my brain's fried. I've been in my car too much. I've been sitting in my car driving to and from embassies, which I've got to do again tomorrow now. But that's okay. Dallas, come on, let's talk about this fight because I keep diverting us. Right. Where do you want to start?
Do you want to talk about the shit you're getting from the conversations the comments you're having about the fight?
Yeah, well, first of all, I can tell the people that are leaving the comments. I can tell that they've not watched the whole show because they've not seen the stuff I talk about Tyron Woodley. Yes, I'm not a massive fan of Tyron Woodley since he's been the champion because, unfortunately, he's not been impressive. I mean, he's been good at keeping his belt, but he's not been great at being a dominant champion, in my opinion. I mean, I want to see him put it on people, and I know he's got that potential. He's just holding back. And that for me, is really frustrating. And, I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about that. You know, I think people... Well, look at his last three fights. The last two rounds of his last three fights, the crowd have been booing. So let's assume that every... You know, let's assume that a third of the arena was booing. We're still talking about a lot of people from each one of those fights that wasn't enjoying themselves.
And haven't all been in the States?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what he did to Robbie, and I see Robbie as way more dangerous. Yeah. Because he's batshit crazy. He's not thinking...
Oh, man, that scream when he'd... after the Rory McDonald fight is one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen.
Fucking
brilliant.
Run. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So when you see what he did to Robin, it was just like, fuck it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying fuck it, no technique, but it was a full arm.
It was perfect.
It was beautiful. Mm. And that's it. That's your model. Go for that, dude. Like Cowboy says, shit or git. And the thing is, he sort of went, nah.
Yeah.
I quite like this belt. And then it's just pointing out decisions. And the thing is, as much as you can see the technical elements and the cool aspects of it, you still want to see someone get pinged.
Right.
For
we're
real.
I mean, I'm a fan. And I sometimes forget that I'm working in the industry as well. And I comment like I'm a fan. But like before we recorded that Inside the Octagon, I'd spent 2 days completely immersed in this fight. And I found myself getting even more frustrated the more research I did on Tyron Woodley because I can see how good he used to be.
Yeah.
Like, you go back to his Strikeforce days, and that was one of the first things I talk about in the show. He was amazing in Strikeforce. He was incredibly dangerous. He was proactive with his takedowns. He'd ground and pound people into positions where he could submit them, and he looked great doing it. But then he kind of hit a couple of roadblocks where he didn't have it all of his way, and he started to get a bit tired, and it seemed to make him a bit more timid with his aggression. And then that's when we kind of start to see him, like, streamlining his style. And it's nothing against Tyron as an individual. I've hung out with him. I've worked with him. He's a nice guy. He's a great athlete and a good champion. But as a fighter, I find myself getting frustrated because if I had the tools that he's got, I'd be like a battleship just blasting guys out of the water, left, right, and center.
The problem is we've seen it. So it's not, you can't erase the Koscheck knockout.
Exactly.
You can't erase the Robbie Lawler. And then as much as... Because even Darren talks about it against Wonderboy that... It was super technical.
Yeah.
And so part of it is not always Woodley's fault, but at the same time, just fucking next, turn it to 10, man.
Yeah.
Turn it to 10. Either go big or go home. And the problem is it's money, it's holding the belt and all the rest of it. And it's one of them where I know he can do it and I've seen him do it and it's been impressive. Like when he knocked out Koscheck, and that was before Koscheck lost his jaw.
Yeah.
That was when Koscheck was still considered good.
Yeah.
If there was a time.
But no, I mean, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And that's the problem is that we've got the comparison with how he used to fight and how good he, you know, how exciting he used to be. And then I mean, you just don't want to see a champion standing with his back up against the fence, just kind of waiting for his opponent to make a move. And that's kind of what it's been. And admittedly, I mean, he's fought specialists and, I mean, so you've got Wonderboy, who's a counter-striker, so he's really relying on Tyron Woodley to make the first move, and Woodley's generally not going to do that. And then you've got Damian Maia, who really needs the fight on the floor to be his best, and he wasn't able to do that.
But he didn't turn him off.
No.
And
he could have been more aggressive. He could have certainly been more aggressive with his attack.
It's like his black shorts have given him, he's taken away his mojo, because he didn't have them against Robbie, and then since he's had them, it's almost like...
So what were they? The blue shorts?
Blue shorts before.
Were those lucky blue shorts?
Lucky blues. Mm. And it's a bit like when you're a kid and you get a new Nerf gun or something and you only get 6 darts and you can't afford them anymore. So instead of having a full out balls to the wall fight with your brother or whatever, you'll shoot one and then find it. Do you know what I mean? You don't go, oh, fuck it, bang, let's just go for it, dude.
Yeah.
You literally shoot one and you're like, oh, I had 6. You've got seven.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, uh-huh. And I know that's a stupid analogy, but it's that.
Well, like I was talking about the nitrous thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like he's got a nitrous button and he's got like three shots in the tank per round. And he's really cautious about when to expend them. Against Maya because he was concerned about the takedown. Against Wonderboy because he was concerned about the counter shot. And I would argue that against Till, he's going to be concerned about getting countered as he's moving forward. Because that's one thing that Till's really good at.
He's just fucking massive.
He is massive.
And you know when he puts his arms up? And he does like, it's like he's doing an over-exaggerated impression of Connor.
Yeah.
But he's built like a man.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Connor's felt. But Darren is fucking
huge. He's a bloke,
isn't he?
He's a
bloke. So, like, literally, you could see him just finishing this and going down the pit and being like, what are we doing? Pole. I've shit it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when he stood there, I'm just like, holy shit. He's Popeye arms.
But what's interesting is that Woodley's got, well, I think there's a half-inch difference in it, but Woodley's got pretty much the same reach, which is crazy.
Fucking Mr. Tickle.
Right? No, he's got really long arms and legs, but kind of like Paul Daly, he's got a short torso.
Okay.
Which makes him a lot shorter, but he's got such broad shoulders. I mean, that's the reason why he catches people from a distance when he's sprinting, because he's got that power in his legs and then the reach with his arms to crack him over the top.
But it's Darren's, his bounce back,
yeah,
and holding him at range. I don't know. I'm nervous, excited. You know, when you get a bit of that adrenaline, like when the UFC was on Bravo back in the day and you'd be watching it at 3 a.m. and then something comes on, you're like, oh my God, he's got no teeth left.
Yeah.
Yeah, that giddy.
I remember there have been few fights recently that have made me feel like this. I used to feel like it a bit more, but that's because the UFC was less regular.
Yeah.
Now it's more regular. I tend to find that, like, obviously the McGregor-Diaz fights, both of them I felt buzzing. McGregor against Aldo, I felt like that. I felt like that again about Holly Holm and Misha Tate as well. I was really excited. You know, there are certain fights that I'm really anticipating, and this is one of them. And again, you know, just to reinforce, no disrespect to all the time Woodley, he's, you know, he has the potential to be incredibly exciting. And the only reason I'm frustrated is because he's just holding back, right?
He's definitely going to listen to this.
Yeah. Well,
100%.
I think he will.
Yeah. We're bros for life. We'll send him
one of the new baseball caps.
Oh, mate. Get rid of his affliction one.
Right, yeah. Oh, man. Got to get rid of it. Anyway, let's... co-main event. Co-main event, Nico Montaño.
Right. Are we just going to call a time when it's finished?
That's your pick. I mean, I don't mind.
Mate, the thing is, the ironic thing is that Carla Esparza is on the same card, and it's almost like, you know, that she's going to go across and be like, yo, this happened to me.
Yeah.
So Ultimate Fighter, yeah, it's all good, but have you had a unitard made? Like,
right.
A super, super fancy one from the champ. It's like, no, good. That's a start. Okay, so hide your belt.
Yeah.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife, because Valentina's coming back.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Fucking terrifying.
Terrifying.
But lovely. Like, the nicest person I've not met.
Even the dance is terrifying, though. That dance is terrifying that she does. She's a scary individual. And she's, like, when you've got someone that's just so focused on MMA, that lives the sport, that travels around with her sister, training all day, every day.
You see when her and her coach were in, like, a cafe, and someone came in and tried to jack the cafe? And a coach was shooting people.
I did see that.
What the fuck? Could you imagine being at a Greasy Spoon and being like, obviously you wouldn't be at a Greasy Spoon, but let's say we were.
I might need a glass of water.
And someone pops in, you'd be like, what do you want? Oh, my wallet. Yeah, no worries, dude. No, she's just pulling out a Dixie out of her knickers.
It's like Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah.
Which wallet's yours? It's the one that says bad motherfucker on it.
Hers says that.
Exactly.
But it's the original one.
Yeah.
There is no other.
Yeah.
So, I'd be surprised. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been wrong. I'm
wrong regularly. Yeah.
I've got a big cross against me last week before with Vic.
I know, we both went for Vic, didn't we?
Let me down, man. And he just didn't seem like himself.
No, he didn't. I mean, credit to Justin Gaethje. The one thing I wasn't expecting was to see him using good footwork.
Holy shit.
You know what I mean? Cut him off beautifully.
But turned him off. It looked like he was bullying him. It looked like the shit had got to Vic. And I don't know, there's a lot of factors behind the scenes. We don't get to be on the curtain. But the Vic that's coming before Screaming I Want a Shot has always delivered. Whereas this one is now, here's the shot. It's like, ooh. And yeah, that was, I was gutted for him because like we said before about the restart in the level, you don't get that.
No.
And he's fought to that position. He deserved it. He earned it. And the mental game just fucked him, I think.
Yeah.
Because he looked lost on the way out, whereas Justin was like, all right, we're going to fucking do this, bro. And yeah, it wasn't a good night for him.
I kind of wonder if him calling for a big fight for so long actually had a detrimental effect.
Yeah.
Like if he was, you know, on a sort of a 3-4 fight win streak and shouted, hey, I want a top 10 opponent and got it.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'd have been on such a streak but with no real pressure that he'd have done better.
Yeah, similar to Till and Cowboy.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's happened to him is more like Rashad and John Jones.
Yeah. You see, so like if Darren Till had fought 3, 4, 5 more guys before he got the shot at Cowboy,
yes.
When he got to Cowboy, the pressure might have seemed greater.
Because Cowboy, 1,000,000%, was that journeyman that literally just said, oh, give me a hand, bro, and just pulled him up and pushed him above and beyond.
That's why we love Cowboy, though.
Yeah, for real, man.
He takes those chances.
Yeah. So I think I can't not pick Shevchenko.
Mm.
There's not a chance. Because she's been in there too many times. It's a bit like Faber. You know, when Faber, all he did in UFC for the first 4 years was fight for a belt.
Yeah.
And just come up short. I just think it's her time.
It's her division as well, I think. The only thing I keep going back to, and this seems to be this strange thing about the Ultimate Fighter, and there are a lot of fighters in history that are good evidence of this. They arrive at the Ultimate Fighter fairly green. They need a lot of things added into their game. But then because they're thrown at the deep end, but they have access to the people and the coaching and the knowledge that will elevate them, they improve really quickly.
But you see that a lot in the old series. I can't remember, I was talking to my mother-in-law about this the other day. Like back in the day, you'd watch The Ultimate Fighter and it would be broken down into all the fights, and then you would have the behind the scenes. So Michael Bisping in Clitheroe.
Yeah.
Wilkes in wherever he was. And you'd sort of see him for a bit and you'd see the same guy been watching and smashing people up, but then they're back in like the roughneck boxing gyms, and I don't think they were for the title fight or for the finale. You didn't always see them getting that same. They've had this overdose of above and beyond support and everything else, and then they've gone back, but they've gone back 3 months later or 2 months later to a group of people that haven't been involved in that nurture. So it's kind of crazy because it's like you see Carla just running through people, and then she's gone back. I know there's a performance institute and stuff like that now, but it's the Ultimate Fighter experience a bit, because obviously you came around the similar time to the season 9, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
But you weren't in season 9, so no. it was that different journey.
I couldn't have done the Ultimate Fighter, I don't think.
No, I based
how my experience would have been very closely on Mac Danzig's experience.
Yes.
Who's a good friend of mine. We trained together quite a bit in Los Angeles, and
with the hummingbird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's just not the kind of person that can be around people that much of the day, and I'm the same. And obviously, you know, when they add the alcohol in there and the couple of characters in there that are just supposed to make people irate, I would have been the irate person that was, you know, losing my temper.
Wasn't Matt Danzig's the only guy in his team that won, then won the whole thing? Wasn't he Matt Hughes? Was he Matt Hughes, Matt Serra?
Yes, he was.
He won the first fight, then lost everything. Matt Serra's boy jacked in and fucked off. And then in the end, Matt Danzig won the entire show, but he was the only one of Matt Hughes' fighters to win any fight.
Yes, I think he was. Was it Tommy Spear in the final? And it was welterweight because Mac's always been a lightweight.
Yeah, but Tommy Spear looked like a weird... Like Matt Hughes has been cloned 7 times and now they're starting to look a little bit different. And it's like one comes out ginger, one's got 6 fingers. And you're like, all right, well, we'll call you Tommy. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just turned him up. I don't know why I remember that about the hummingbird and the other shit, but I knowing you as I know you now, I couldn't imagine seeing you go to a fucking all-inclusive hotel for a day, let alone the Ultimate Fighter house.
It would have driven me mad.
You go full Tony Carter, I think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So other main card fights. I'm excited to see Magomed Sharipov fight. I'm disappointed that Rodriguez fell out.
Yeah.
Andrade against Kovalkovich. As much as I love watching Carolina fight, I just feel like Jessica Andrade is a bulldozer, isn't she?
Yeah.
And then the first fight on the main card, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan against Nico Price.
I do like Price because, again, he's another Vic.
Yeah.
That you're not seeing enough of him. Uh-huh. He's not not to be a fake shit talker, but he's getting the job done all the time. Like, what is he? 12-1
12-1 Yeah, yeah. And he's really awkward as well. He's got that. He's got like kind of like that Keith Jardine timing. He's just a little bit kind of herky jerky and comes out of nowhere with different shots and. But all bones as well, elbows and knees.
Unfortunately, that's no disrespect to him, but if I say to you Keith Jardine, you don't remember he's got a win over Forrest and Chuck.
No, I remember he got starched by Houston Alexander.
Yeah, and choked to death by Vandalay. is this legal?
Yeah.
No, stop choking him, dude. But and when I say easily forgotten, when he's on a card, I'm pumped.
Yeah,
because I remember the man bun, and I'm like, yo, I like this guy.
Uh huh.
But the problem is like Keith Jardine, it's one of them where, as much as you remember in season two, he came up, he was good, but it's not that you remember the Forrest win. You don't remember the Chuck win. I know the Chuck was a decision. It was after he got pinged by Rampage, but at the same time, that was a give me for Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like Keith. I love watching him fight. I'm not so keen on him in films. And his nickname. Come on.
The Dean of Mean?
Fuck me.
I love it.
No, mate. I was going to talk to you about nicknames because there's a lot of bad shit.
There are. Well, Nico Price is the hybrid, which was a good nickname before hybrid cars.
Yeah, because now you're like a mid-range Lexus on Auto Trader.
So watch it. I'm just going through these nicknames on this card. The dentist against Kid Dynamite. That's great.
There's only one dentist. That's Josh Neer. Come on now. See, the chosen one... That's you living up to that. You're living up to protecting the belt, aren't you? A little bit.
Yeah, Cookie Monster. That'd be my nickname.
Yeah,
I think Carlo Esparza, Funk Master, the Spartan.
The Funk Master is probably one of the best, especially if you could body pop. I want one of them to come out and be called like John Dodgson. He can say he's the Mouse because he's small with a long tail. But I think that's quite British humour.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I wonder if he's going to keep his throw. Have you seen his massive throw that he's got?
Awesome. It's like made a crash helmet. 7 inches taller. Do you know what I mean?
It's like a crash helmet.
But there are a lot of... Prodigy comes up a lot, doesn't it? The Natural.
It does, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. It's I struggle with some of them sometimes.
Hands of Steel with a Z or a Z.
It doesn't count.
Don't need it, do you?
No.
Frank the Crank. I'm a big fan of Frank Camacho.
But that does sound like a Tonka toy or something that you're going to read to your kids when they're like two.
It sounds like a drug to me, like a street drug.
Oh, Frank the Crank.
Crank.
No, I'm going to stick to Tonka toy. It sounds... I'm imagining... A bulldozer with eyes and, yeah, it just looks like a foreman, but in the shape of a Tonka truck bulldozer and a sandpit. Don't leave Frank the Crank outside. It'll get wet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fight I want to talk about, this is the one I'm most excited about on the undercard. I think this is fascinating, and I think it's a really good opportunity. Craig White against Diego Sanchez.
Dude.
The Nightmare against the Thundercat.
Mate, what? Thundercat.
Thundercat, yeah.
That is the bat signal I sent up when we went for our first baby. I just sent out a message saying Thundercats are ho, and then we're in the hospital. And
everyone is that right?
Yeah, everyone knew we were at the hospital for 24 hours. Mate, I think Diego's batshit crazy. And we've already spoke about the Cowboy podcast, and I don't know how much that's distracted him.
That's a good point. Because, I've not even thought about that.
Well, I don't think he... I think he's one of those people that always trains.
Uh-huh.
And he always trains to bite down and fuck people up. But I think sometimes he needs... There's a bit more focus maybe involved to think, well, you used to wrestle the shit out of everyone and smash people to pieces. But I'm glad to see Craig White back in because he gets another shot and he deserves another shot because he was given a big fucking chance.
It does feel like a bit of a reward for taking the short notice 100%. Against Neil Magny.
Because you stand on your feet for three rounds, you're getting 50 grand.
Yeah.
But the thing with Diego is... He's consumed himself with like this loyalty family thing for Jackson Wink, which I get.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like when that happened, maybe a week removed from the fight, and I can't say that Diego's not emotional.
No.
Because like there's dictionary definition is a picture of fucking Diego stood there walking out going yes.
So do you reckon? You reckon regardless of what happens in this fight, do you reckon we get Diego against Cowboy in the future?
I would love to see it, but I think Cowboy, as emotional and slow starting as he is, I think he'd pick him to pieces.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's just, as much as Diego's brain is saying that he's the best he's ever felt, things are breaking now, dude. Or what is he?
And
is he our age? What? I'm 37. He is, there isn't a
thing
on there.
Around
he's
that.
Got to be around there, hasn't he?
He's got to be around that. I'll pull up Wikipedia. But it's, I mean, the other thing as well that I keep reiterating when I'm talking about this fight is that Diego's been down to featherweight.
Was that when he shaved his head bald?
But there's just no way that Craig White could even make lightweight. That's the thing that stands out to me. And Craig White's tough and durable. You know what I mean? He doesn't mind walking people down. He doesn't mind getting bloody. He doesn't mind losing the fight until the last minute. Until he catches someone with something. And I think he's kind of going to come out of nowhere. He's 14-8. I would imagine Diego's going to kind of overlook him a little bit. Like you said, he'll be distracted with. He'll be distracted with the drama around, where is he? 36, so he's same age as me. Okay. So we're all old.
A young Thundercat.
Yeah. But no, that's Diego Sanchez. Yeah. He's 36.
Oh, shit, okay. So with Craig, how do you think the pressure is on him? Because obviously he got the short notice fight, and famously, other than you, Golden Boy, you get three goes.
Yeah.
And obviously he's on his second.
Yeah.
And Diego is fucking unpredictable. Because the one thing I do love is whenever it's a Diego fight, they always bring up him against Clay Guida.
I was at that fight live. It was incredible. It was like Clay Guida had springs in his back pockets. So when he got caught with that head kick, I don't even know how he got his legs back underneath him.
What the fuck?
It was amazing.
Yeah, he had more bounce than Zebedee. But with Craig, he's obviously seen Diego come through, so there's got to be something in his head like, he is
legend.
A legend, yeah. For real legend. So he's either going to, Joe Lowe's on him, I think, and Diego's going to come up back down his gumshoe and say, fucking watch this.
And fight face first because of his loyalty to the fans, yeah. You know what I mean? And like, then, if he grappled, it could be a real problem, but I just don't think he's going to.
But that's proof of be a fighter. The same as when we're talking about Tyron, when you look at Diego, he is go big or go home.
Yeah.
All the time, because like we saw him fight,
he is fun to watch. Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch.
I love watching him. I do love watching him.
Was it BJ that gave him that massive cut across his forehead
in the first punch in a title fight?
Oh man,
literally, that was Diego had climbed the ladder for days, and BJ was like, I'm thinking about hanging it up,
right?
I'll just fuck him up first. And he literally pinged him first shot, and Diego was on chicken legs. And did it go five or four? He ended up choking him.
I can't remember. I saw a comment a couple, this week, so it must be a recent interview where he said it's his destiny to be a UFC champion.
Oh, I mean, no. Been choked. He hadn't been Ezekiel choke.
Oh yeah, Alexei Oleinik. I've been researching him today. We've been watching some of his highlights ahead of the Moscow card.
It's scary.
He's not going to get the Ezekiel choke against Mark Hunt though.
No,
it's just physiologically. I can't see it happening.
I think that's like you guillotining my car. It's not going to happen. For all the will in the world,
no,
you can't get your
physically. No, I just can't. No, no. And I think you're right. I just don't think he can get close enough to choke him.
But if Diego is coming out saying stuff like that, it almost makes me think. I tell you what, let's just sideload him into Bellator, and he can destroy everyone.
But that's the thing. I don't even think he will. I think he's at that stage in his career now where, I mean, no matter who he's fighting, it's 50-50 because he just takes so many shots to land.
Yeah, but you imagine. You've got him against people like Pitbull and stuff like that, Chandler. That'd be exciting. And that's where he needs to be. Almost bring Pitbull and Chandler over. That'd be exciting fights. But it's almost that legend league again.
Yeah.
Because it just worries me that he was season one. Didn't he win at middleweight?
He did. And went all the way down to featherweight and back up again.
Yeah, that's worrying, dude.
It's not good for your body to be making.
I'm excited for that, though. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the Riviera-Dodson.
That's a real even match.
Yeah, and I think it's one of them Riviera shocked a few people, and John Dodson's got that knockout power, if you remember, on TJ.
Yes.
Turned him off.
Yes. Knocked him down a few times. Dodson was probably the closest, other than Cejudo. Dodson was probably the closest at beating DJ in his prime.
Me.
Yeah, that was a good one. But then Riviera's coming off that loss recently, isn't he? Is he just coming off a loss?
Yeah,
like Jim Rivera. He's one of Tiger Shulman's guys, isn't he? They're onto something, that team. You always see that name popping up, Tiger Shulman. And they've always got like good level strikers. Luke Gaudino was one of their guys.
Yeah.
And they've had a few guys come through.
But it's
interesting
that's under the radar again. That's another one up and coming because they're giving him Faber, journeyman, and he beat Faber. Convincingly as well. Yeah, it wasn't even like you could go, 50-50. It's a good card, man.
And beating Almeida as well, that's a That's a good one. Yeah, it is. It is a good card. I'm excited. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that my passport's ready tomorrow.
And Aljo, we get the best corner team Aljo in MMA. We get a bit of Sarah and Ray Definitely. Longo. Oh man, you're gonna have to get some pictures with the Long Island crew, dude. Big time. Take you back to your GSP days.
Oh man. That was the best thing about the GSP fight for me, was getting to hang out with Matt Serra and Ray Longo. I think it was Matt Serra posted a photo recently of them both kicking back outside the gym. Did you see that? They were like sunbathing outside the gym, just kind of sitting by some railway lines.
As you do. I saw him go on a pizza tour on the UFC.
Oh, Dana White looking for a fight.
Yeah. And he just went on a pizza tour and just ripping this poor dude the whole time. And you know, you look at him and he's like, what, 5'2" something?
Think, can't tangle with him, though.
No, mate.
Dangerous.
Yeah, scary times. But
yeah, good dude.
It would be awesome. Awesome for you to see them guys. And I'd like to see Aljo get a big win. Cause
yeah, Stamen's tough though. One loss on his record, ranked number 10. Lot to gain in this one.
And he's a letter of Starman.
Yeah.
Imagine if his name was Cody Starman.
Starman.
He'd already be a champ.
He is the Spartan though. I do like his nickname.
Yeah, Cody the Starman Spartan. Sounds better, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, no, you're right. You're onto something there.
Especially
though.
In a rough Midlands accent. Cody Duck, you're a Starman, you. You're going to win this right good. Yeah, I don't think they're all going to get that.
Right. What else we got to talk about? I think that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, there's big love for everyone on the website, on the Warriors drop. We obviously shut the website down for 24 hours.
Yeah, thanks for your patience with that one.
Oh, dude. I'm quite pernickety as well, you know, when it comes to editing and getting stuff looking right. But it was beautiful. We got it all put up there, and then the orders just rolled in. A lot of love, a lot of repeat customers. So there's a lot of names that I can give shout-outs to, but I don't want to leave anyone else out. So you know who you are, but thank you so much for all the support. Obviously they've dropped, got the Nalgene's, dude.
Yeah.
Oversight slightly if you want to give them to your daughters for school, because they're massive.
we need to get some of the kids' size. Yeah,
my little 6-year-old girl's taking her back to school. She's jacked to fuck. She's got this Nalgene.
With doing the farmer's walk up to the...
Yeah, she's killing it. So to be fair, they are awesome. We've got a couple of variants of them. We've got some new lids coming out. The new glassware, the drink stuff. There's a new coffee on the horizon.
Yes, there is. You've been tasting coffees, dude, haven't you?
I got spoilt rotten. I went to the Outpost guys. Shout out to Greg and the boys. They took me in, and it was they had a Kenyan. I don't know what the blend was, but these guys are serious.
Right, scientists. For real,
yeah. So he gets it, grinds it up for me. Like, you can't be in the vicinity, like in its little bubble. And so weighs it everything, but weighing everything out. Whereas I've got my machine, I'm just like beans. Gimme coffee, dude. Whereas that made me feel like a proper scumbag, you know, when you're like weighing out and like taking grains off,
right?
Then made it, then did the thing. Okay, I've got a picture, I'll stick it on Insta, or I'll send it to you so you can put it on Insta. But honestly, you know, when you taste something, I think we've been so like driven towards this is instant coffee, that's what coffee tastes like. Bullshit,
right?
This is the nectar, honestly, it was so good. So we had that, but we've got a new one coming, which is a natural Ethiopian, which is going to sit nicely beside the other blends. So basically, everything's going good. Obviously, we'll get the hats up there soon, so you can see that sort of stuff. So website's just rolling. You've got Gimme Radio, that we had the update on the Gimme Radio site. Thanks for everyone who's messaged in and given us a lot of support about they've been able to find it and use it. And your mum's been doing some cross-stitch to it.
She has, yeah. I've had two funny conversations, actually, recently. One with my mum, who posted a photo, I think, on Facebook or something, that she was sat in the kitchen having a cup of tea and doing a cross-stitch and listening to my Gimme Radio. Standard. And when I'm thinking I've got Pantera and, Machine Head, Iron Monkey and, you know, Ignominious Incarceration, those kind of bands, I just can't picture my mum listening to them. And then yesterday I was driving home from London on one of my many journeys to the capital and back this week, talking to my accountant, who also said, I was listening to Full Reptile Radio the other day, and I thought to myself, I just can't. I mean, this guy, he's a real nice guy, but he's very well dressed, ties perfect.
Is there a full Yakuza suit under there?
Maybe that's it. Maybe he's fully tattered up.
There's a cartoon, there's a film called The Secret Life of Pets. It's fucking brilliant, especially when you cooked. But there's a dog, and when the parents go out, it's how the pets act. And there's a poodle that sits there listening to classical music. And as the parent leaves, like, goodbye, Leonard. And off he goes, and then he just puts his fucking full heavy metal rock on. That's your accountant.
I just can't. I can't picture these people listening to this music. That's the thing.
No, but you had mad husband points.
I did, yeah.
I've got to be honest, because not only are you dedicated a song to your lovely wife, yeah, that was good, man. That you was like good. That. I don't know what you've done wrong, but you were well in the clear. Oh, Jesus. Man, that was, yeah, fair play. I even messaged Lacey to say, look, he didn't mean it.
Yeah. Oh, no, she was real happy about that.
It was good,
she
man.
She was real
yeah.
happy about that. Right, we should start wrapping this up. That's been nearly 40 minutes, but then we had the pause for the BBC radio.
We did.
Cool. So anyway, yeah, what was that? Seven? Episode seven?
Episode siete. Yeah.
Seven.
That's
yeah.
us.
Wicked. UFC 228 this weekend. Fingers crossed my visa comes through and I'm there.
Nervous, and, excited.
Right?
Yeah, shaky, excited.
Bouncing off the walls. You're going to be up live, aren't you? You're going to be watching live.
I don't know.
You are. No, yeah. You're going to be, because I'm going to call your phone until you answer.
Do it. Because then the next time you come to my house, oh, you've not had a whooping like it, dude. She might be 5 foot tall, but holy shit. Oh, no, shit. 5 foot two.
5'2".
Fuck me, running. 5'2" is my beautiful
Get
wife.
Get it right.
Yeah, that two now matters.
You've got to, yeah, now you've got to make up for it by giving her a shout out.
Edit this for me, please.
All right, guys. Episode 7. Thank you very much for tuning in. Enjoy the fights this weekend.